bless. Clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Oh, if you really believe that, you ought to shout with the voice of triumph. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Well, I believe the Lord has given us a mandate tonight. It was evidenced in the service this morning and by every song that we have sang and worshiped Him by, that our attention and our focus needs to be on the right thing tonight. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. When we started singing this morning about what He's done, what He's done. What He's done, past tense. What He's done. When I think about all that the Lord has done, and then I look at my present situation and my circumstances, my fear fades away, and my faith is lifted, because if He did that, surely He can do this. Amen. Well, I wasn't scheduled to preach tonight, but your pastor is very sick. He preached sick this morning and did a masterful job. Nobody would have known it. That's what a pastor does. But we want to lift him up in our prayers tonight. But I guess God knew what was in my heart. It's been there for weeks. I don't recall exactly when this portion of scripture was brought to my attention, but I feel like it would be the will of God for us to examine it for a little while tonight. I'm going to take you to the book of Judges, chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 21. But there's a verse in the New Testament that has seized my heart and imagination this afternoon, and I believe that it is a witness to what the Lord would want to do in this service. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, it said, "For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scripture, drawn from the witness of the past, we might hold fast to and cherish our hope." Let me read it from the Passion. He said, "Whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us in how to live. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things." Let me read that again. Whatever the scripture has written aforetime has been written to instruct us on how to live. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I don't have time to read it all, but if you begin in the second verse, you find God working in a particular family unit. A wife and a husband who had been unable to have children. Manoah and his wife, the Bible said, were barren. And they were unable to bear children. And the angel of the Lord came to her and appeared and told her, "You're going to have a child. The barrenness is broken. You're going to bear a son." She shared this visitation with her husband, and he was not skeptical, but he wanted there to be a second witness. And so Manoah entreated the Lord and said, Lord, let that man that did send this message to my wife, let him come again and visit us and say that again. And so while Manoah's wife was in the field, the visitor came again and again witnessed, you're going to have a child. And she hurried to get Manoah, bring him there so he could share in that experience. Manoah came and listened to what the visitor had to say, and then he entreated him to stay a little while so that he could prepare him a meal, not knowing that it was an angel of the Lord. Let me read beginning with verse number 21. It said, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But I love the answer of his wife. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. It is amazing to me how two people can experience the same setting but come away with different interpretations of what happened. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about your witness and the witness to what you experience in life. God bless you. You can be seated. In my years of living for God, I have come to understand that my interpretation of the events of my life determine the success or failure, the faith or fear that arises within my heart. The very best or the very worst can be viewed differently according to your interpretation of the things that are happening. It could be the best of times, it could be the worst of times. And when we try to reason from the unknown to the known, we have problems. When we venture into tomorrow and what may come or what may happen, and we try to reason our way backwards, we always find ourselves in trouble. But if somehow, as Manoah's wife did, if she could look back and reason from the past to the present, she could see a better future because of what she had witnessed in the past. And I believe tonight that there is a message that God would like to speak to this church and to our hearts. And we have heard it in our songs tonight. We sang about Mighty God, Mighty God. Anybody know anything about a Mighty God? Is there any witness in the house to a mighty God? Are there any witnesses in the house that can stand and testify and say that the Lord has been good to me? Oh, come on. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Now, I'm not here tonight to condemn anyone, and I'm not really here to correct you. I'm here to try and encourage you in your circumstances that you find yourself in. For I have discovered that faith often finds itself struggling with the events that happen in our life. The events that we cannot understand, and we do not fully comprehend the totality of their impact or importance. And we are We are quick sometimes to interpret life by the wrong reasoning and by the wrong thoughts. God came to visit this couple with the grand news that their barrenness would be broken and his wife was going to bear a son. It was going to be a special son. He was not to be like the others. He was to not drink wine or strong drink, and he was not going to eat any unclean thing. And there were these things that the Lord set upon this family as parameters to raising the child. And when she told this to her husband, this strange encounter with this unknown visitor, he had not been there, and so it was hard for him to wrap his mind around all that was said. And so Manoah, who was struck by this visitation, entreated the Lord to come back again and teach us how to order this child's life and tell us how we are to raise this child. And God, as God does, he answers prayer. He doesn't always answer them in the way that we would like for him to, but God always answers prayer. And so the angel came again as Manoah's wife was in the field. And so she ran and got her husband and brought him back. And he shared with him what he had spoken to her previously. How shall we order the child was the question that came quickly to Manoah's mind. And what shall we do unto him? How shall we raise him? How shall we order his life? To me, those are two of the most important questions any parent can ask concerning their child. And again, the angel reiterated his word to his wife. And he was so moved by what was happening. He said, oh, stay with us and let's have a meal together so we can enjoy this situation even further. And then he became inquisitive. What's your name? How do we call you? And the angel responded to him that his name was special. His name was privileged. And it was then that Manoah realized that this strange visitor was actually an angel of the Lord, and this terrified him. This turned his faith to fear, and he exclaimed to his wife, surely we will die because of what we've experienced. Surely God is going to take our life because we have seen God. And he was so struck by the fear that he could not reason that anything other than that would happen. But Manoah's wife had a different take and a different interpretation. And I love what she said. She said, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, if that was what his desire was, don't you think he would have already done that? If we had encroached on ground that we were unwelcome to come to, surely he would not have received our sacrifice. He would not have received our offering. He would not have shown us these things. He would have not shared the news that he shared with us if he intended to kill us. I love the reasoning of faith that came from this woman as she responded to what God was doing rather than reacted. You see, when you and I react to life, fear is the number one thing that shows up in response to what's happening to us. When we react to those things that we don't understand or we can't comprehend or we can't define or we don't know how to put in the category we want to put them in, fear is the first to come and visit us. And fear brings torment with us. What a difference between Manoah's response and his wife's response. It was the difference between fear and faith. Manoah was reasoning from the future back to the present. And as I said a while ago, when you and I venture to do that, we always invite trouble because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But Manoah's wife said, I know what yesterday held. I know what yesterday told. I know what yesterday witnessed. I know what God did for me yesterday. And so standing on what God did for me yesterday, I'm going to reason to the future that if God would do this, then surely he would do that. He would not bring me to this place so that he could kill me now. She looked back over her life and the visitations of the angel and other things that had happened in her life caused her to reason that if God would do that, would he now kill them because of what they knew? Would he take their life? She reasoned that by the things they had been shown, God meant to deal graciously with them in the future. Can I tell you tonight, Greater Life Church, that what all you've been through and what all life has brought to you up until this moment has all been a testimony and a witness that if God could get you through that, then whatever you're facing out here right now in the unknown, God knows how to get you through that. If God could keep you then, God will keep you now, and he will keep you in the future that is yet to come. I believe that it is in the days of mystery and perplexities and even the threatenings of life that we cannot do better than to follow her reasoning and to follow this line of thought. We cannot do better than to resort to this argument that as we enter upon the unknown, the way I can best know that is to embrace this. How many of you today, when you look back over your life, without question, have seen the hand of God, even in the most mysterious of time, even in the times when you didn't know how to pray, you still had the hand of God on your life. Even when you weren't even looking God's direction, he still had his hand on your life. If God would do that, would he bring us to this so that he could take our lives by the circumstances that we are facing? Surely not. Surely it would not be the witness of his spirit to bring us through all of this so we could be failed by some enemy of the present. But yet this is what we all struggle with at times in our journey, in our walk with God. We yield to panic and fear because we don't know. And he reasoned with God's, surely God, surely is future tense. Surely God will kill us. He was looking too far ahead. And God said, you need to turn back and look at where I brought you. Look at what I've already done. Look at what I've already accepted. And we've heard it in our song tonight. We sang about mighty God. We sang about a witness. I've seen it. I'm witnessing to it tonight. That what he's done, he will do. And what he did, he continues to do. His blood still works. I said his blood still works. His blood still heals. His blood still delivers. His blood still frees us. His blood still purifies us. Is there a witness in the house? Is there a witness in the house? Oh, yes, yes, yes. What a word to enter into the unknowns of life. That this is to be my end. Or is this just the beginning? How we torment ourselves with this earthly thinking of the unknown back to the known. We worry ourselves about things that are yet to come, and we trouble our hearts and our minds by worrying about what is going to happen and what could take place, when we really need to look back and look at what God has done and realize that what God has done, he is likely to do it again. He wouldn't have blessed me like that then to curse me now. He wouldn't have touched me like that then to leave me without his touch today. Amen. Life would be worth living if it weren't for those tormenting questions and fears that come to our hearts. But if the Lord were pleased to destroy us, wouldn't have he already had occasions to do that? If the Lord wanted to take me out, he's had plenty of opportunities. Because I know I've failed him many times in my life. I've come short on many occasions. I've stumbled. But I'm here to tell you tonight that when I look back, I don't see my stumbling. What I see is the hand of God that picked me back up and put me back on my feet and said, hey, you're going to make it. I put something in you that's going to enable you to make it. You're going to make it because I have determined and willed for you to make it. If the Lord were pleased to destroy us, would he have shown us all these things? Think back over the life of our church over the last few years. Would God have let us go through all of that for COVID to take us down or some other pandemic of the future? People are worried about the stock market and the financial futures, and I'm just as worried as anybody else because my money is just as weak as your money. But a long time ago, I learned that I could trust God when I could not trace his goings, when I could not find exactly where God was. I could still trust him and know that wherever I went, he was going to be there with me and he was going to take care of me when I got to that place. I've lived too long to question whether God can do it. I know God can do it because he's done it too many times before. You know, we don't celebrate enough of the little things that God does for us. We keep waiting for some big miracle to happen. But I think we ought to pause every once in a while and look back and just realize, you know what? I didn't have the money to pay that bill at that particular moment, but somehow a check came in the mail. Somebody gave me an offering, something. I didn't have the ability to face those things, but you know, I here I am today and I'm a witness that I got through it. I made it. Oh yes, help us, Lord. We cannot honestly survey the many treasures of God's goodness that are around our lives tonight without feeling that God means to deal graciously with us in the future. Every sunbeam tells us that. Every shower tells us that. Every sheath of grass rebukes our skepticism and our despair. Every sparrow that flies rebukes our fear. For if his eye is upon the sparrow, then surely his eye is upon me. If he knows when that one falls to the ground, then surely he knows when I stumble in my human weakness. If the design of God were sinister, if he were pleased to forsake us, if he were pleased to abandon us to hunger and nakedness, if God were pleased to torment and destroy us, would he have thus kept us all these days so he could torment us now? Would he have brought us through all that he's brought us through so that he could frustrate our hopes now? In the revelation of his word, we have exceeding great and precious promises. But I want to tell you what inspires me more than just that written word is that living word that I see all over this building tonight. The lives, Malachi, I looked at you this morning as the baby was being dedicated. I think just a few years ago, God got a hold of him and brought him here. Larissa, the same thing. Many of you understand the witness of God's mercy because you were in a place that you didn't deserve the mercy of God, but he showed it to you anyway. And you're here worshiping tonight, and you're singing tonight, and you dance tonight. Why? Not because you are good, but because he is good, and his mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. We got to visit with Billy and Jesse the other day, and I sat there looking at that young couple. I thought, oh God, how great and merciful you are. I knew her grandparents. Her granddad was one of the sweetest men I've ever met, pastored a church in Rusk, Texas. We preached many revivals there, and he was always so kind. Celicia loved him. She would go gather quail eggs with him every morning, and he would pickle them, and she learned how to eat pickled quail eggs. Such an awesome man. But something happened in the family, and Jesse's parents got away from the Lord. When her and Billy met, we were laughing. We were here in the building somewhere in the building program. And I said, Billy, how'd you meet Jesse? He looked at me and kind of blushed. He said, in a bar. I just smiled. One thing they told me, they both said to each other sitting on bar stools, there's one thing we will never be. We will never be Pentecostal. That's what I see that encourages me today. I heard the prayers of a granddad that lingered long into the future to help a young lady find her way back to God. And if the prayers of that granddad could be kept alive and reach that young lady, I'm telling you that there are prayers that are still being heard in heaven that friend prayed years ago that are going to come to pass now. Because what he did, he said, I will do it again. Because that's who I am. Oh, clap your hands and praise. I need to hurry. When you and I look at our personal lives and recognize how God has blessed us, it will turn dark fears into great faith. Just think of what God is likely to do because of the gracious things he's already done. How many more Billies and Jessies are there out there? How many more Larissas and Malachis? How many more that are somewhere out there waiting for that call? Every gift and deliverance of the past becomes a prophecy and a promise of the future. God has to do it because he cannot be inconsistent with who he is. Did you hear me? God cannot be inconsistent with who he is. And he said, I am the God of today and yesterday and forever. So whatever, wherever, whenever you face it, just understand that God would not have brought you to this time for you to be overwhelmed by your fears. He did not bring you to this moment so you would be overwhelmed by a doctor's report or some kind of economic output or forecast. He has brought you to this time to let you know that what I brought you through, I will take you to, and I will keep my hand upon you all of the way. Every gift and deliverance is a prophecy and a promise of the future. I remember when we were evangelizing, we had gone to a church. Don't ever tell God you'll go anywhere he wants you to, because God will take you up on that. told God it didn't matter where he opened a door, I would go. And so he tested me for a long time to make sure I really meant that. There was a certain church that called and invited me, and I was forewarned before I went. You probably don't want to go there because they don't know how to take care of evangelists. But I'd made a promise to God, and I welcomed the invitation. I remember the first week went by, and there was no offering, no check, no pounding. Anybody remember poundings? Anybody go that far back? If you were an evangelist and you came to a church, they would take up groceries, and they would, that was a pounding, so that you had food to eat. There was no pounding. Second week went by, and there was no offering and no pounding. The third week came, and there was no offering. And I would go lay in the floor in the church, and I would cry and ask God to help us, and God did some wonderful things in that place. We got ready to leave, and I was given a check for $50. What nobody knew was that I had severe infection in my body, in my mouth, my teeth, and they were going to have to do some extractions and severe dental work, and it was going to cost several hundred dollars. We didn't have insurance, didn't have the money to take care of it, and on top of that, it was Christmas. We didn't have any money to buy presents for our kids, and it was a very disheartening time, to say the least. I remember pulling that trailer back into Houston, backing it into my parents' yard, and had only been there a little while when my mother came to get me and said, "Brother Kilgore's on the phone. He wants to talk to you." And I went and I answered the phone, and after a few pleasantries, he said, "Brother Mark, I need you to come by the church. Somebody brought a check by today and said they wanted you to have it. Don't know who it was. He never told me. But when I went to pick it up, it was exactly the amount of what the dentist needed to take care of those needs." If God would do that then, do you think he will bring me to this moment to leave me and abandon me and say, "I'm sorry, I'm out of miracles, I'm sorry, I'm out of wonders, I'm sorry, I've already answered all the prayers I can answer"? Not on your life. Everything that God has done in your past, everything that God has brought you through, every prayer that he's ever answered, everything that he's ever done is a witness and a prophecy that whatever you're going to come to in the future, he said, "I've got what you need for that hour, and I've got what you need for that moment in your life, and I will see you through." Come on, let's clap our hands to the Lord and give him praise. Stand with me if you will. Would God excite hopes in us that he does not intend to fulfill? Would God implant desires in us that he does not have the means to gratify? Would God simply dangle before us a false hope? Or would he be true to who he is? Would he be true to who he is? We do not know what tomorrow will bring, and it is the fear, the uncertainty of that, that troubles us so often. But what I do know is this: he has been faithful. I said he has been faithful. What I do know is that he has kept me thus far. And what I do know is that God always finishes what he starts. God always finishes what he starts. I don't know who you are. I don't even know why God would work the way he did today. But I do believe that the word of the Lord is for someone in this building. That we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now he that wrought us for this very thing is God. The one that wrought us for this very thing is God, who has given us the earnest of the Spirit. I appeal tonight to the experiences of your own life as a witness to your present trouble. When I look out over this building, I see miracles. Brother TJ, a walking, living miracle. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you are battling with issues in your health tonight. Don't give up. God's not through yet. God's got answers to every question. And God's got things he can do in any situation. And so I appeal to your own experience. Not mine. But every one of you in this building have your own experiences. You can look back over your life. Sister Amy, you're a living witness of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. His keeping, his help, even going through all of the things that we often go through, God's there every moment. Celicia, you're a living witness. You're a living testimony that God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Yeah. So I'm not asking you to praise God for what God's done for me. I'm asking you just to take a moment right now and just look back over your own life and begin to praise him for what he's done in your life. Because if you'll start doing that, it'll change your perspective about the future. If you'll start doing that, it'll change the way you look at life at this present moment. If you'll just look back and realize where the Lord has brought you and what he has brought you through and what he has brought you to, he will not leave you nor forsake you in this moment. There are people here tonight that would witness to this, that it has been your sorrows that God has sanctified to your spiritual growth and grace. Is there anybody here would raise their hand and say, yes, my sorrows were sanctified by God and they became a means of growth. Hidden mercies that were designed to discipline us and bring us more into his likeness. Things that we have suffered to learn obedience. Only following in his steps. Divine love that has followed us all the days of our life. Never failed us. Never one day been without it. Are there any witnesses in the house? Oh God, help us tonight to never allow the fears of the unknown to overwhelm our knowledge of what we do know. In a moment of doubt and fearfulness, a murmuring spirit can impeach his goodness and cause you to lose sight of what God has done. But it took Manoah's wife to help balance his fearful fit and bring him back to an understanding that if God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted that sacrifice. And if God wasn't going to answer a prayer, he wouldn't have received our worship tonight. Oh, what God has shown me is that he is trustworthy. And what he has shown me is that you can count on him to see you through whatever it is that you're facing. What he has done for us, what he's done. Oh God, I wish they could put the words of that second song, I've witnessed. Can you put those words up? I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. Is there anybody here tonight that can witness to that? God's faithfulness? Come on. Is there anybody here tonight that can witness that your story is worth telling? Oh, I want to pour out my praise to him because he's worthy of it all. He's never failed. He never will fail. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. Oh, hallelujah. What he's done, what he's brought us through, what he's taught us in all of these things that we've faced in life, it ought to fight off any sense of hopelessness. Oh, yes, come on. Sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy of all of my praise. I've witnessed it. I've seen you breathe life within.
So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories.
Yes. His consolation is precious tonight. Oh, yes. The consolations of his spirit are precious tonight. The past is not just a history. It is his story. I want to pour out my praise to you, Lord. Whatever I'm facing at this moment,
your promises never fail.
Oh yes, Lord.
So I'll pour out my praises.
You're worthy. What is your witness saying tonight? My witness says that he's been too good to me for me to doubt him now.
Your word.